members and good morning to the department today. Welcome and hope for an informed morning. I'm surprised if I'm holding myself. I just felt sometimes to get a doctor's appointment. If I leave, don't be surprised. So, I don't know. It's the second time when the DG comes, I fall. So I'm not sure which witchcraft is he bringing or someone from the department or Wabundim. I'm not sure which one. So I just had a very, very full. Thank you, members, and welcome, Deputy Minister. I know Alexander Berg is very happy to see you. He's been asking, where is the Deputy Minister? So it's good that we are here, and thank you for coming, for gracing our meeting so much. Members, as you all know, that today we have been briefed by the department on the fourth quarter expenditure and performance report. And then further with the panel's report in terms of the names that we agreed upon. But after the DM, we can allow you to leave on, or after the department is done, and then we can continue. In front of me, I've got apologies. I've got apology from Comrade Muruta Story, who will want to be able to attend. She'll be attending a portfolio committee on congregations. I'm really unable to attend because due to party commitments. Minister Mashatile has sent apology. He'll be doing a preparation for cabinet that is taking place today. And then Sam is not here. He is in Mpumalanga. He is sent by the minister to Mpumalanga. Those are the only apologies I have in front of me. Are there any comments on the apologies? Okay. I think before we continue, I must just on what was raised last week on in terms of the attendance of the committee. I must say that in front of this committee, I have taken the matter up with the office of our chief whip of the ANC. That's a matter that is going to be solved, which I will bring a report next week, because last week I was the only member of the ANC DM. There were no members. The previous week there were no members. It was only two. So it's a matter that has been raised strongly by our opposition members, which I've taken up with the office. So I was not happy at all, but I think it's not a matter that we can discuss now, but your matters have been raised. I've really taken it up, and Jabulnath to me is my witness, and I can still not account for those who are not here today because I do not receive any apologies. I believe we know each other by now. Who is someone that we don't know? Is there any member of the department who's coming for the first time in the portfolio committee? DJ? Okay. Is there any member that you don't know the side? Do you know me? Okay. The only person I think is a gentleman from PNG. What's your name? Ismail. I know you're used to. And then I think there are two people at the back which I maybe would like them to just say who they are. That's our culture in the portfolio.
My name is
Naren Supo. I'm from the Arterial Network South Africa, and which does work in policy development and research in culture and arts in the continent and in South Africa. Thank you.
Welcome, nice to have you on the portfolio committee. And the next gentleman.
Okay.
I think Naren, because we know each other, You'll just get as a speak who is who. I will just do it quickly. Okay, I'll just introduce the honorable members because the DJ has got a long interest. You have I'm Tandile Sinduza, the chair. There's Honorable Linda Moss, Honorable Ndapane, Honorable Pascal Vick, Honorable Van der Berg, or Mabunda, and then you've got DM Dr. Pasha, and that is the DG, and next to him is Mr. Ngovo. Then at the back there is Mr. Ndima, and Khref, Mr. Jogweni, Dr. Jogweni at the back there. You have Lulama at the back from Zandla, Davankulu. You have Kawaka Kasamba. You have Mr. Lidimo. You have Dr. Jogweni, but of course, Anna. And then you have Master Pokanek Mansrimia, Haneli. I can not even go. Oh, I'm gone. Mr. Ravik at the back. Then you have Lisa Combrick, and then you have Kobozengo. Depends on the room beside Tama, because she was so glad. Okay, thank you. I'm sharing this and this. I think I've got 90. So, just for the purpose, and then Honorable Nomita Shulwan has just entered the meeting, and then that's where. Okay, we can start, DJ. You are here to present your... Why is it the fourth? Because it must be the first. Oh, no, I'm shocked. Oh, okay. Thank you. DM, is there anything that you want to say before? I'm fine. You're waiting for questions. Okay. DJ, over to you.
Chaperson, thank you very much. And thanks to the committee for an opportunity to present the first quarter expenditure and performance review report of the Department of Arts and Culture, which is vote 14. Okay, I'll try to. I've got a bit of a flu. My apologies about that. Chair, let me just say right from the beginning that I have not changed the presentation. The only changes I've made is that I've added a couple of pictures of things that we do just to share with the portfolio committee. They say a photo tells a story of 1,000 words, and we will do the reporting, but we have included some of the pictures of the things that we do. That is a picture from Freedom Day this year, the President, the Deputy President, the Chief Justice, as well as the Speaker of the National Assembly, sort of leading the procession during Freedom Day. The outline of the presentation, I'm going to quickly do a performance overview, followed by budget and expenditure, and I'll explain the expenditure, the economic classification, and then I will do a quick round of our performance on key indicators per program. What we have achieved for thus far for the first quarter, out of a total of 125 targets, we have completed 77 of those targets, which is 62%. And 38% have not been fully completed, which is 48 out of 125. And we will get into the details of the things that we have not been able to complete and why that is. And just to do a very quick comparative analysis between the first quarter of 2012-13 and the first quarter of this year. Last year, we were sitting at 47% achievement. This year, we're sitting at 62%. It does reflect an intensification of performance as well as achievement. Although obviously the number of targets themselves, the number of targets has changed. The program one is sitting at 53% achievement. Program two has not achieved any of their targets. Program 3 has achieved 100% of their targets. Program 4 has achieved 68%. Program 5 has achieved 71%. And Program 6 has achieved 83% of their targets. And we will go into details about that. Once again, another picture. This is the picture of the Eiffel Tower illuminated in the colors of the South African flag, which was the opening of the South Africa season in France. The season is still ongoing in France, but it's proving to be quite a resounding success. What we are seeing is that a lot of the South African artists that we have taken to the season are now being invited to come back to participate in festivals in France at the expense of the French. So what we have in fact been to be able to do is to promote South Africa and the export of South African culture and art products and services into that part of the world. Just getting into the budget and expenditure, I thought I should drop another picture. This is the minister signing the declaration on the launch of the framework for the mobilization of society in the build-up of the 20th anniversary of South Africa's democracy and freedom. This was done together with our social cohesion advocates. Coming to our budget, for this financial year is 2.914 billion rands. Of that, we have spent 19% against a benchmark of 25%. And the programs that, I mean, the administration is spending at 25%, which is in line with the benchmark. Performing arts is spending at 18%, which is lower than the benchmark. The National Language Service, 23%. Program 4, Cultural Development, is 20%. Heritage Promotion is also at 20%. And National Archives and Library Services is at 18%. Economic classification, compensation of employees, we are at 24%. Goods and services, we are at 18%. The conditional grant for libraries is at 15%. The transfers to departmental agencies and accounts is sitting at 25%. Capital works, which is our infrastructure program, is sitting at 11%. Our transfers to non-profit organizations is sitting at 25%. Our transfers to households is sitting at 29%, and capital assets is at 7%. Just to explain a bit of detail some of the transfers that we made, the conditional grant for libraries we're at 15%, and the reason why we are underspending on this is because we cannot transfer the conditional grant until the Division of Revenue Act has been passed by Parliament. The Division of Revenue Act normally gets passed in April. This year it was only passed at the end of May. So we could only start doing transfers as of in June. That is why we are spending a bit, the expenditures a bit low. Our transfers to entities and agencies and accounts is at 25%. Obviously, we transfer on a quarterly basis to our entities. And we try to keep that to the benchmark. Our capital works expenditure is a bit low. We will speak a bit of detail why it's sitting at 11% and how that is going to be accelerated during the course of the financial year. And our transfers to non-profit institutions is also sitting at 25%. Just looking at some of the money that we spend inside the department, compensation at 24%, goods and services, we are sitting at 18%, we would explain that. Transfers to household at 29%, as well as capital assets, 7%, we'll get into that. This is a picture of a South African imbongi, or poet, who was performing at the Dulce September College in Paris. during the opening week of the South African season in France. Now, just an explanation, compensation of employees, we are at 24%, which is in line with the with the benchmark. However, I must say that our expenditure here would have been a bit lower, except that we had to pay some of our out-of-court settlements with some of the employees that we had had disputes with. And we have advertised a number of positions in the first quarter, and two positions which have been filled. It's the DDG, Arts Culture Promotion and Development, which is Ms. Monica Newton. She's unfortunately unable to join us here because she's representing the department at the Arts Culture Trust Conference at the University of Johannesburg, as well as the Chief Language Practitioner for CBEDI. Those positions have been filled. Perhaps I should say, Chair, that we are quite pleased that almost all our DDG positions have been filled. The only two that remain unfilled is the CFO. It's the CFO as well as corporate services. Obviously, corporate services. Yes, Chair. No, it was heritage, institutional governance, as well as arts culture. So we are making progress in that regard. And goods and services, 18% has been spent as of the 30th of June. And the reason is that MGE funds are allocated under goods and services. We had requested a environment from Treasury, and in order to translate this from goods and services to transfers to households, and this can only be processed after the approval of the appropriation bill. From our last interaction with Treasury, this was supposed to have been done by the end of July, and we will get our environment, which will then allow these funds to be to households. The reason why we want to avoid that environment is because MGE funding is not funding that we use for the department's purposes. It's funding that we transfer to households in order to implement projects. And that is why we can't transfer it if it's sitting under goods and services, because that becomes procurement. That is what we are waiting for from Treasury. And there were some delays in receiving some of the invoices from our legal section for work that has been done legally, particularly on the Language Practitioners Council Bill. On the conditional grant on community libraries, we have spent 15%. I have explained that there was a delay in the transfer of the first tranche because of the delays in the passage of the Division of Revenue Act. We are transferring, we are increasing the transfers on the second quarter in order to keep up with the expenditure that that the provinces are supposed to do. Not all provinces have actually had time to process orders and advertise, so even expenditure at provincial level is a bit suppressed in the first quarter, and this is the expenditure at provincial level. Out of the 597 million rands which we have for the grant, 87 million has been transferred to provinces, and provinces have actually spent 71 million, and we have 510 million rands which we're going to be transferring over the next three quarters, and that adds up to 14%. And some of the provinces that are really low in expenditure include particularly the Western Cape and Gauteng. But you'd recall, Chair, that these are provinces that transfer those monies to municipalities by and large, so it was delayed by the Division of Revenue Act. Now, the transfers that we make to our entities, this is money that we give as subsidies to our public entities, both the heritage, the library, as well as performing art institutions. We make these payments on a monthly basis on a straight line. And an amount of 257 million has been spent as at the end of June 2013, in line with the baseline, with the guideline percentage, and we don't project any under or over expenditure on this item. On capital works, this is money which goes towards the maintenance, upgrade, and refurbishment of playhouses, museums, as well as libraries, and also includes the construction of legacy projects. 11% had been spent as at the end of June, and the underspending is mainly because the Department of Public Works submits invoices a bit late for those projects that they are implementing. The second reason is that we are transferring, we had to go back to Treasury to ask them to increase the transfers to our playhouses, because we transfer capital works money directly to our playhouses and we don't implement that for public works. So we have received that approval, and we are doing in the second quarter, we are doing those transfers to our playhouses. The nonprofit organization relates to Business Arts South Africa, the subsidies that we give to Business Arts South Africa, Blind South Africa, as well as the Engelenberg Arts Collection. And we expended 25% of this, which is in line with the guideline, and we don't anticipate any over or under expenditure. Households, I've spoken about this, we have spent 29% of the budget, and this is due to just the numbers of projects that were ready for implementation in the first project. Obviously, because this is project money, it doesn't happen on a straight line. Some quarters have got more intense activity and therefore more projects, so more transfers have been in those quarters. On capital assets, this is mainly the acquisition of IT equipment in the department. We had spent only 7% on this. The main reason is that we are ordering servers which are going to be delivered and paid for in the second quarter. Those are servers that are going to support the work of the department, our business process flow, as well as the National Archives retrieval system, as well as our own website. That is where most of that money is going to be going to. It's the National Archives website, the NERS system, as well as our own intranet. Chair, I thought let me include another picture. This was the conclusion of an MOU between the National Film and Video Foundation, as well as the Kenya Film Commission, on a co-production arrangement between the two film commissions. And this was done in May this year, in order, as part of our move towards more collaboration with other African countries in the film sector. Now, some of our key indicators, starting with ad practitioners which are placed in schools. This year we are placing 160 ad practitioners. The first quarter target is consultation with artists, as well as sites and beneficiary schools, as well as the placements of 160. We have not been able to do this, the placement. We have done the consultation with the artists as well as the beneficiary schools. This is mainly because we have not received the environment which I spoke about from Treasury. We are going to be placing all of these artists during the second quarter of the financial year. On public art, we have completed the consultation processes with external beneficiaries, which is the African Art Center, as well as Africa Band, but the project have not started, and they're going to be starting in the second quarter. And because the projects have not started, we have not necessarily created any jobs in this regard. On the language of on the number of language bursaries that are awarded, our target for the year is 280, and for the first quarter we are transferring funds to the participating universities. The participating universities have been transferred. There are two remaining universities where transfers have not taken place because we are still waiting for their audited financial statements so that we can transfer the money to those institutions. The number of flags and poles that are installed in schools, our target for this financial year is 2,500. In the first quarter, quarter, we have installed 800 flags. Our procurement processes are 95% to appoint direct service providers. Service providers for four of the provinces have been done, and we are finalizing the rest of the five. So we will have service providers for all our provinces. We will no longer do one service provider for this program. So that is how we're going to ramp up the numbers in terms of the installation of flags in schools. The number of handheld flags that are distributed, we target 100,000 a year, 30,000 in the first quarter. In this quarter, we have done about 58,000 quarters. We have exceeded them. And most of these were distributed during national events, Freedom Day, the National Youth Day, Human Rights Day, as well as the episodes that we have had. On the support that we give to legacy projects, the ORTAMO, we are doing the approval of plans for the interpretive center. This is the ORTAMO, the ORTAMO kind of remembrance. We are waiting for the approval of the plans. And on the union buildings, the erection of the Mandela statue, the target for this quarter is that a cabinet member should be approved and a sculptor appointed. The sculptor has been appointed, the cabinet member has been approved. In fact, the miniature of the statue has been done and has been approved by both the president as well as the deputy president, and we are now in the process of casting the actual statue. The number of bursaries inherited studies that are awarded per year, we've got 106 bursaries which we're targeting. And transfers to universities have been made by the end of June, so that target has been met. The number of jobs created in the heritage sector, we target 7,500 per year, and 1,041 in the first quarter. We created 3,043 jobs, mainly through the installation of national flags, as well as some of the national celebrations. The number of community libraries which are upgraded, obviously being the first quarter of the year, none of the projects would have been completed because it's we use the first quarter of the year mainly to do the administrative work, the business planning, the transfers. The actual upgrading starts in the second quarter and will be completed in the third and fourth quarters. The number of jobs which are created through support of arts, culture, and heritage events per year, we are targeting 9,800 jobs this year. And the target for the first quarter was that we should approve the data collection system. The monitoring and evaluation tool has been developed in order to collect the data, so we have approved the data collection system, and we are going to start reporting on the second quarter on the actual jobs that have been created. The number of touring ventures, none of those have actually happened. We are still waiting for the Treasury environment. The number of cultural events which are to be supported, we are targeting 39 this year. We went in the first quarter want to approve approval of business plans as well as four events supported. There are six events which we participated in. It was the opening of the Confederations Cup in Brazil, the Hope and Optimism visual art exhibition, the Vancouver Film Festival, the Argentina Cultural Industries Market, as well as the opening of the South African Pavilion at the Venice Biennale. The FISAHARA Film Festival, which takes place in the Sahara, has been postponed, and we also participated in two regional meetings, which is the IPSA Culture Ministers Forum, as well as FOCAC. The cultural events which we have supported include the Summers, the National Arts Festival, the Cultural Mind Dance Festival, in the Free State as well as in KwaZulu-Natal. This is the picture of the exhibition that has been installed in the Matola Reid Museum, which is a picture of President Oliver Tambo together with President Samora Machel and I think this was shot at the funeral of the victims of the Matola Raid. Now, a performance against other APP indicators, our performance targets for successfully attained targets in the first quarter, we're aiming for 60%. We have achieved 62%, which is above the target. We're aiming to have 5 SMEs or 7 were actually held. People with disabilities in the workforce of the department, we're aiming for 1.8. We've got 1.6% of people with disabilities. We do have a number of opportunities in order to increase this as we fill some of our vacant positions in the department. We were planning to spend 20% of our approved budget. We have spent 19%, which is what we have explained earlier. Our vacancy rate is we plan to have 15% at the most. We are sitting at 11% vacancy target. Expenditure on the capital works budget, we had planned to spend 25%. Our expenditure is sitting at 12%. On the payment of service providers within 30 days, all our service providers actually get paid within 30 days. In fact, according to the Auditor General's report, we pay our service providers on average in 26 days. So we are meeting that target. We want to deal with, to resolve all service delivery complaints, at least 70% of all service delivery complaints resolved within the set parameters. We are sitting currently at 98.3% of all service delivery complaints which are resolved. This is a picture of Ambassador Barbara Masekela addressing the social cohesion advocates during the launch of the national mobilization of the 20 years of democracy. Ambassador Masekela is one of the social cohesion advocates. Now, program two on youth enrichment workshops and symposium, one dialogue was supposed to be held. This one could not be held because of the postponement from the Department of Social Development, and the dialogue has been rescheduled for the 30th of August, which is in the second quarter. The number of trendsetters that are supposed to be placed in provinces, we're supposed to have placed 66 trendsetters. None have been placed because we have had problems with the provinces, but three provinces have now come back and showed interest, and we are moving with them in order to place these trendsetters. The number of programs which are supported through Community Arts and Culture Forum, the business plans and contracts were supposed to be approved. The contracts have not been concluded. However, 6 out of 9 provincial consultative meetings have been undertaken, and we are now finalizing the 3 remaining provinces, and all of the business plans will be ready for approval by the 30th of September. The juvenile access program, the concept plan has been refined, and approval was supposed to be given for this project, specifically for juvenile and female correctional facilities. The concept plan, in fact, was refined, but we have not been able to get the approval, to secure the approval. This matter has been followed up with the Department of Correctional Services. Moving to Program 3, the numbers of technology that have been developed in various domains in arts and culture, the target was 873 technologies developed, 2,898 were developed. On human sciences, 2,898 was supposed to be done, and 1491, in fact, was done. In fact, there was a bit of a problem with our printing here. It kind of confused things. On life orientation, 1491 was to be developed. We have on life orientation. We've done 1491 indeed. On election terminologies, 1400 terminologies were to be developed, and 1491 was actually developed. On what happened? Chair, my apologies. There was a bit of a problem with the printing here. We are responding to things that are not in the right places. But the transfer of funds to universities, I had explained that there are only two universities which are outstanding, and we are waiting for the audited statements and reports from those universities, so that we can transfer the money to those universities. On program four, which is cultural development, there are a number of programs which are supported to support a culture of reading. The stakeholder, the first quarter target was stakeholder engagement on the upcoming National Book Week, with the necessary approvals of plans. This has been done. The National Art Establishment, we are supposed to have submitted a cabinet memorandum to the cluster, as well as the National Approval Cabinet Memo has been submitted to the cluster. We are in discussions with the Treasury about the structure of the National Art Bank, and they have raised a couple of comments which we're dealing with them on. And the establishment of the KIGS, in the first quarter we're going to process the appointment board members as well as co-consultants for the design, the consultants for the design, the terms of reference have been developed, and the commission has been developed to appoint the co-consultant. Chair, this is the Matola Museum. This is the interpretive center of the museum in Maputo, in Mozambique. On program five, the number of policies and legislative instruments that have been developed and reviewed to achieve the objectives. The National Museum's policy was supposed to be developed by the end of June. It has been done and the target has been achieved. The National Living Heritage Policy, which was submitted to the Minister, has been done and has been approved by EMT. This is going to be submitted to the Minister shortly. The other one, the Cultural Heritage Policy, submitted to the Minister and has not been submitted to the Minister because of insufficient time to deal with all of these things. But this is going to be submitted to the executive management team, which will approve it, and then it will be submitted to the minister. The finalization of a cabinet memorandum on digitization of heritage resources, that has been done and has been approved. The National Heritage Human Resource Development Strategy, the cabinet memo in that regard has been done and is going to be presented at the next executive management team meeting. The cultural law state amendment bill was supposed to be promulgated by 30th of June. Chair, this has not been done. The research could not proceed because we had problems with the procurement process. Parliament gave us a deadline of the 30th of June for all bills to be submitted. We have not been able to submit this bill, so we accept that it won't go through this year. However, we are going to deal with the cultural laws amendment bill in the context of the review of the white paper on arts, culture and heritage. Chair, this is a picture of the Dr. September College in Paris, which was opened as part of the South Africa Fridges. Program six, the oral history project, the training, which is currently several individuals were interventioned. The number of archival outreach programs presented, one National Archives Awareness Week was hosted in May, and the number of library materials purchased by provinces, which was posted, the target was 12,871 materials were purchased in four provinces, and that was due to the delays in DORA, and this is going to be subscribed in the second quarter. Just a couple of other pictures, and that's the end of our presentation. This was the Cape Town Carnival, which took place here in April. This was the training of arts journalists, which took place as part of the activities of the Cape Town Jazz Festival. These are some of the journalists that are participating, and specifically journalists with disabilities that are partaking in the program. This was part of the Human Rights Day, which took place in the Western Cape. And Benguin, these were some of the young people that were performing there. This is the Marimba Band, in fact, that performed there together with the President, the Minister of Arts and Culture, as well as the Minister of Justice. This was some of the cultural performances during the National Youth Day held in KwaZulu-Natal. This is the completed Norman Museum in KwaZulu-Natal. These are some of the huts that have been completed as part of the Norman Museum. This is the actual interpretive center of the Norman Museum in KwaZulu-Natal. Chair, this will wrap up our presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you for attending the meeting. Okay. Members? That's the presentation. Do you have anything to add? Beyond? Okay. I think it is just for the presentation, and I saw you smiling on the second last photo where that woman was doing samba or something. Maybe we should just go back. Yeah, I saw you smiling on that one. The way when you're presenting, you were really smiling. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I just saw you changing the face. So, thank you, members. Here's the presentation by the department on the assets for the expenditure. And okay, I'll go first if there's no one. Thank you, Jay. And I might ask, anyway, we ask questions that are also not in the presentation. You know how it works. I think it will be important for you to watch the video of the threat plan, as well as if some of our issues are raised there. Not on behalf of the portfolio committee, but I think there's some of the issues that I thought are very important for us to raise in that session. And DM, you were not there. I was disappointed that a member of your staff did not know what the colors on the South African flag mean and what do they present. And Mr. Ndima came to his defense, you know, and I will never forget. That is the surprise of the century, because I was saying, then what do you indicate about the South African flag? Was one of the questions that I had when I did the presentation, the issue of flags, to say that you've allocated about 7.6 million for this project, but you only spent 1.88 million, you know? And why is this case? So are you saying that the other schools do not have flags? Sorry, I've seen schools without flags, and what is the educational value of school? Deputy Minister, I was in Ghana 2 weeks ago. I have never seen people so proud with their flag. It's all over, in the cars, in the homes, in the shops, in spazas, in what do you call this? containers on the street. The flag is there. That's how they pride the flag. Like Americans, the way it's all over, even in the yards and everything. At what level are we going to reach? Because it's very important for us to understand the flag as well. I've seen people putting it upside down. I've seen people doing. I think it goes with the anthem as well. What educational value is that? I think it will come. It will be a question also coming to the issue of off-road issues and educational elements, which I've raised as well as a subject, because it helps me really when the flag is not really taken serious. I think those are some of the issues that I want to raise. The second issue, I think, it's an issue that we've been raising for a long time, the issue of capital works in terms of, did you spend so minimal, and then it is still this issue with public works. Fortunately, the Deputy Minister, there may be at cabinet level as well, this issue has been dragging, and I remember some of the entities that we've done, oversight, they were raising this issue that some of our issues are not done. Public works, there is this one in Windigo, we're still crying about public works, just beyond what you expect. And other entities as well. I remember Park Austin where they were crying, they were saying it's hot, there's no aircon system. And the representative of the department there was saying it's public works. So I don't know how we do solve this issue at least, because it's been, it's always yesterday. It's still public works and public works. I don't want to make Honourable Father Pejo this question happy. Maybe we should clarify as of the committee to say that the Eastern Cape has received 8 million conditional grant, while the Western Cape received 5.5 million. And the Eastern Cape purchased only 2,136 library material, and the Western Cape 4,445. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a question that we should ask, because we need to understand those things. So then, we would ask why the Eastern Cape is purchasing less library compared to the Western Cape and KZN. Is it understanding? Is it I don't know. I want to understand, because my understanding also was the Eastern Cape is vastly rural than the Western Cape. So I'm not sure about the monitoring part, Dr. Kiso. Now I'll come to questions beyond the presentation. On the funding of other entities, maybe we should clarify, ask also your DJ, now the DJ, on the issue of NAGMA. I've raised it with you, I've raised it with the minister, and this has been raised in the portfolio committee again. So we thought today, actually, Ms. Prisa Mkulu wanted to come in today, and I don't know what would happen, because she was just saying that she was fighting with me now. And I thought I should raise it here, DJ, because they were I think the playhouses compare each other, I think was the issue. And secondly, choral music, Dr. Joe, because you are the other antique gold generation, it has been something that especially Africans have entertained themselves with. But now the choral organizations, I would say, are saying that the department is letting choral music down. Instead, it's been focusing on more international issues like the season. So I don't know, maybe something that you can help us with. They've always been complaining. Did you know about it? And at some stage, did you accused of tribalism to say that you give more money to KZN because of own part of respect? There are some of the issues that have been raised, and you diffuse such statements because they are not correct and they are not South African. I thought that is one of the issues. Indigenous games, DJ. Brazil is international or national indigenous games. And Dr. Johan Erokula, we played together, we played every indigenous game. That's how it was our question, because I believe some of the people are not good in sports participation, so recreation to them is a sport. So I'm not sure at what level, because now they are slowly diminishing. I don't see anyone, for instance, in Soweto when I go there, playing skipping or don't listen to Fatama Kushanin. And if you don't take another, you? I'm a Kushanin, I don't see anyone So you don't see anyone playing that anymore, and I'm not sure how the department promoting our games best, because I believe those are the cultural games that have been there for generations. And I think my last question before is the issue of social cohesion of advocates. When are they meeting? Because the department is supposed to coordinate. The president speaks about social cohesion. Everybody speaks about social cohesion. Everybody in social cohesion, with all the what is happening now in South Africa, everybody's speaking about social cohesion. So at what level are we taking it further? Because now, some of the statements that are tribal, that are racist, sexist, and all of that, I think it's a matter of for the society to cohesion, so, you know, that's one of the issues. So I thought I should just start on that note. I think I've laid the foundation all of an independent and then on another podcast.
My first question is in slide number 14, goods and services. The reasons we have given for understanding that is laid in receiving invoices from the government for work done. You know, this has been a problem we have experienced since we appeared before this commission. So my question is, what do you intend to do to prevent this? Because it reflects negatively in your report. Same goes to slide number 19. This is the same problem. So what really do you intend to do to prevent this happening in the future? Because I think really it will come to a stage where it will not be accepted. We will do something about this. And in slide number 25, the reasons we have given there is that the MCE funds still under CNS, that's delaying the implementation of the second program. Do you know what are the causes of this? Number 29. Do you know what is the cause of this? Because I'm asking this question based on the fact that you say there are plans to avoid it. It means if there are plans, it could have been avoided even before it happened. So that is why I'm asking, well, what is the cause? My last question is, what are the trends that are? This is on slide number 34. You know, I am asking because, you know, a lack of cooperation from some provinces. What are the trends that are? Maybe I'll have a follow-up question after the answer of this one. Thank you, one of the questions.
Thank you, Chair. Some of my questions have been covered, especially the question on the social cohesion. I was also interested in that. And then, Chair, of the more than 12,000 library material that has been purchased, can you give us an indication on the percentage of these materials that have been purchased for, say, townships and especially the rural areas? And then, Chair, as far as job creation is concerned, the department reports that it created, what's it, 3,000 more, just more than 3,000 jobs through the installation of the national flag installation, etc. Chair, I would like the DG to give us an indication on what is the department's definition of a job. The sustainability of these jobs, etc. I think that's all for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. And my apologies for arriving late. I have two questions, but the other one has been asked. I just add on that one. The first one is on, I think it's like 36. There are two remaining universities which have not yet compiled. And the comment is worrisome to me, because if they have not complied, we expect the department to come up with a comment that will assist those universities to be at par with the rest. But it said like target achieved. I know that you come up with targets, maybe 60% you satisfy. When are we moving towards 100%? That's my first question. The other one is on job creation also, such that if Department of Arts and Culture come up with temporary jobs, and this country has a plan for sustainable jobs, are you assisting? Or can we bank on you that in future you'll be like coming with sustainable jobs? Thank you.
Answer a few of them, and then I'll also ask some of my animal, the national flower, and so on and so forth. So those are some of the things that we share with the schools when we install the flag. So it's more than just the physical installation of the flag. There's education that goes with it. We are in the process of working out with the Department of Education how we can also distribute together with the installation of the flag the Charter of Positive Values together with the... We have been asked to include the beginning of the Constitution, the preamble of the Constitution. We have not started with that yet, but we are going to go towards sharing the preamble of the Constitution in the installation of the flags as well in the schools. The problems with the Department of Public Works, there are a couple of things which we are doing with public works. One is that we are removing the reliance of public works. That is why some, particularly our performing arts institutions, they no longer use public works for their capital works project. They do them, they procure direct. They build their own capacity. The problems which we still have with public works are two. It's projects that have been contracted to public works. So projects which are underway. We cannot say to public works, stop this, we'll do it ourselves now. We cannot do that. But the second and probably the most difficult thing, because legally we cannot do anything about, is the lease and rental of buildings, both for ourselves as a department as well as for our entities. The building that our offices are in is managed by public works. We cannot lease buildings directly ourselves. We've got to use them through public works. So what public works would do is they would pay the rent as well as water and lights on our behalf. And then, I mean, just last week I was signing the payments for May now. So it's already in August. We're signing payments for May. Now, that's just the way that the system is. I don't think that we have spoken with public works. We continue to speak with them, but that's just the nature of the system. I don't think that there is anything that we can do because legally we are not allowed to rent our own buildings and to pay those services ourselves. Now, the same goes with our entities that are renting space, whether it's space for storage or space for their own purposes. That has got to be done through public works, and that's just how it's working. Then there were a number of questions around, okay, maybe let me deal with this issue around the library. It's a simple thing, Chair, about why the Eastern Cape has brought less material. The business plan of each province would differ. Some provinces would have more library material, some provinces would have more refurbishment of existing libraries, some provinces would have the construction of new libraries. So the number of material that has been purchased in line with the business plan. I would imagine because I don't have the business plan for the Eastern Cape, is that they have more construction for the library than the buying of library material, which is why they are purchasing less than the other provinces which were quoted, which are the Western Cape and KZN. The funding of some of the entities, and NACBA is just a token check. Once again, when we were approached by NACMA, we sat down with them. We suggested, and we referred them, in fact, we facilitated a meeting between NACMA and the National Choir Festival. Because it just doesn't make sense to have the National Choir Awards program and parallel to that have the National Choir Festival. The National awards should reward people that do well in the National Choir Festival. Now, I'm not sure what happened to the breakdown, what caused the breakdown in that relationship. It's The Old Mutual continues to support and fund the National Choir Festival. We do participate with them in that regard, although we are not a funder of that. But we will continue to pursue that relationship because that sounds big sense. It just doesn't make sense to have awards that are not necessarily linked to a festival or to the performance of choir. Then there were a number of questions in relation to jobs. Most of our jobs are of a short-term nature. That is because our jobs are based on either projects or events. People get employment on specific projects for the duration of that project. For instance, we have employed service providers for the installation of the schools and flags, and we give them a specific number of flags per service provider. They will employ people for the duration of that contract. Once the contract comes to an end, then those jobs are terminated. That's just the nature, once again, of the work that we do. Most of the sustainable jobs that are created in the things that we do are jobs that come. For instance, if we build a library, after the library has been completed, after the built construction has been completed, a librarian will be employed. People that take care of the maintenance and those kinds of things, those are the jobs that are sustainable. But most of the other jobs, a vast majority of our jobs, are short-term in nature, based on events as well as on projects. Colleagues, if Ms. Nadine, you can answer the questions around the trend center program.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, good morning. Good morning, DM. Thanks, DG, for the opportunity. The name Trendsetter is a brand name that the department uses for a youth program which, in relation and in line to the national youth policy, that each and every department that's got a youth directorate has got to have a national youth service program of one kind or the other. For instance, the Department of Communications has got what they call ECADA, and Social Development has got what they call Masupatlela, which are names that they use for that. For the brand name for DAC, then we came up with the name of Trendsetters. It's a year-long program. It's based in community health centers, particularly if you look at the model that communications department follows, is that the young people that are being trained as they are so-called trendsetters, so the National Youth Service Program, is that they are placed in CITA, State Information Technology Authority, for training, and thereafter they get deployed in departments. With us, they are being trained in community health centers and then being placed. They are placed in provinces where they are coming from. Like I said, that most of the training takes place in the community health centers. We've also done, in this regard, a partnership with the National Youth Development Agency to give them life skills. But we are particularly teaching them, or they go through training community projects of art and culture. They also are training civic responsibility and civic participation. So therefore, some of the projects that they themselves will be setting up as trendsetter per province will respond to the community needs in art and culture. Chair, one of the important things that we're getting them to understand and know is the national symbol. Especially as youth, as young people, we're targeting out-of-school youth that have completed matric to be part of the trendsetter. So each province will then select two other creative industries program or training that they would like to have. In case of them, for instance, when we were there the last time, they liked the young people there that we consulted with wanted to have music and craft as the two creative industries thing that they need to be trained in. So basically that's what it is. The other thing that we do, we do transfer through a steering committee with the province an amount of money towards the stipend and towards the, they get a kind of uniform that identifies them as trendsetters. So that is also this kind of relationship that we've had has been difficult with the province. Largely because we're saying when you come to the province, immediately when you call it a youth program, they say in the department they don't have someone who's focusing on youth. So we then resorted to placing it in community art centers. Thank you.
Dr. Jay, if you can address some of the methods related to question.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, Deputy Minister. Honorable Shuvala, the question on the terminologies. The terminologies that you are developing are carefully selected at a curriculum stage. They are based on school curriculum and are developed for the schools. And the Department of Education is quite aware of where these terminologies are available. They are available in the website of the department, and they make them accessible to all schools, Cobotorville and Ever. Thank you. And then the question on the universities that did not get their transfer. I just want to say that those universities, those two, are still complied and they transfer when they teach.
Thank you. I don't know if you want to comment on some of the questions on the flex as well as some of the background questions.
Thank you, TG. I think you've covered it. I wouldn't want to add anything. I understand that when I was out, there was a question around the sculpture. Or that I can respond to that. The sculpture that has been appointed to do the Mandela statue is Andre Pinsley. And it's a sculpture that is very much experienced. In fact, it's part of the National Heritage Monument Project, which is a project that has to do with the production of sculptures dating back to the pre-colonial times, among various communities, among the Zulu communities, the Kamba communities, all the communities, all the kings and the chiefs. And of course, the work that is going to be moving towards in the leadership of the who fought against apartheid, up until the present. Thank you.
Speak about the violence and the delays.
Thanks, DJ. Thanks, honorable members. I just want to comment on the good of this budget. Initially, when this funds are appropriated, the MGE was appropriated under the services. And in terms of the appropriations, we are not allowed to use that money from good of services, and therefore, we need environment from treasurers. In this current financial year, we've done our environment early before even we start the financial year, but because of the appropriation bill, this money was not ready. So I've been making follow-up to treasurers, so they promised that by end of July, they will give us that approval. Everything has been done. It's just that the classification itself, because when we finalize the ENC, in the beginning of the year, we requested that this money should be budgeted under household, but treasury didn't allow that to happen. That is why we got the delay. And also, I want to comment about the delayed invoices. From our side, starting from this current financial year, we did centralize the payment so that we can control them at the central court at finance. So I think that is assisting us because we are complying with the 30-day period of paying our service providers. It's only those few invoices whereby the services in rendered where the service provider is not providing us with an invoice so that we can pay. So in that instance, we can't pay without an original invoice. We can't release the payment. So those are the small issues that we're addressing, but most of our payments now are controlled at the central point.
Finally, just to address the question on social cohesion advocates. The social advocates are doing quite a bit of work currently, and the work that they are doing revolves around three things. One is the mobilization towards the 20 years of freedom and democracy. We are partnering with the social advocates together with Lead SA on developing the concept and rolling out the concept of Freedom Friday in the same way that we rolled out Soccer Fridays and Rugby Fridays as part of the mobilization of the communities. So that's one of the programs that they're working on. Secondly, they are developing the guidelines for social cohesion summits at local level. That is going to be done. I think they're going to complete that around September. Thirdly, we are working with provinces on the provincial summit. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had the social cohesion summit in the Northwest, which was linked together with the Moral Regeneration Month. Later in August, we're going to be having the social cohesion summit in KwaZulu-Natal, and we are working with the rest of the provinces. The social cohesion advocates are playing a very critical role in terms of shaping the discussions of those summits. That's the program that the social advocates are undertaking together with us. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on this issue of you not only providing flags, if I understood you correctly, but providing education. Because I'm trying to check, that would be very good. But I also know that the Department of Education has a way of imparting education, so that there are periods you should know that where you go and teach these kids. But it's interesting to know how you do it within the school context, because it's interesting. We know for the fact that the Department of Education also is dealing with that part. But if you are dealing with that as well, would like to know, because it's interesting how you find yourself in a school situation and imparting education as such within the general timetable. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions concerning museums. The National Museums Policy, Chair, through you, will that be accessible to us as a committee, DG? And then also, what progress has been made on appointing council for the Tsong Museums and Iziku Museums, etc.? I think the deadline for nomination was the 17th of May. Can you report on the progress? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask, you know, the flag project of the department. Can you give me an indication of the price of one flag? Now, we always see at the traffic lights, you know, with the rugby flag, but this is not a good quality. I'm talking about a very good woven type of flag that can keep the test of time. So I think it must be expensive, and I just want to ask, why are there, you know, irregularities in the price of some of the flags? And as I look through this, in certain provinces it costs us to erect this flag. And what I also want to ask is, that flag, is it a flag pole included? And also, that what is very important in handling of our national flag is the procedures in how to handle it, because there are specific manners in you handle the flag and the respect you put forward towards the flag of your country. You're not just pulling it down from the flagpole and roll it up and chuck it into a cupboard or whatever. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On the issue of DG was complimentary after the president on the social commission. So, he said that there are about two provinces. My question would be, are the requests done by the province itself? Or is it provinces by doing the request by the department when they have their summits in their provinces? Or is it their own initiative itself of the department to call in that social cohesion summit or whatever you say, what the own initiative per province? I know we said we have it last year, a national one, and then we said we're going to roll it out to provinces. But I just for interest, I want to know. And I want to say, why I'm asking this question, I'm also a politician, and I want to ask this question. We all see what is happening in this particular province. We're so unique with different race groups. People speak different languages. People culture is different. And we all see what is happening. I mean, is it not maybe also maybe to use this opportunity as a department to bring the social cohesion issue to this province? I'm saying on a serious note, it is not the work alone of the president to take the initiative. I think that's why we have departments, where we have the programs to roll it out where the fire is burning. I mean, we go in the next 20 years of democracy. We celebrate last year President Mandela's birthday. And it's where Mandela was for many years in this province detained by the apartheid regime on the Eastern Northern Island in Paul, and where he was released. I mean, when you start talking about this type of things is happening in this also province about racism, about people undermining one another's dignity, and all those things. So that's why I'm raising the point on a very serious note on the issue of social cohesion about provinces. Say, but on the issue of the, yes, on the panel did ask the question, I mean, on the issue of capital spending, I hear the explanation of this. You, when you came here before, you are even a year, you raised solutions you had offered, you put on the table to address this matter. Today, still, we hear there's a challenge after 2 years. Even the honourable members who are not in our committee from the opposition party, from the DA, Rodrick, she raised it many, many times, even before we come in 2009 as members of the portfolio committee on the issue of playhouses. She raised it, if you can remember. She raised it over and over, and even Honourable Patty Duncan. Today, still we're not getting a satisfied answer on what is the solution to addressing this challenge or from here. You're not running the Department of Public Works. It's fine. But I think you both are, we have DGs who are all together in the same cabinet, where you don't have platforms where you discuss this thing and come up with a common solution on this challenge of capital spending on taxes. I mean, what is the purpose that we come to Parliament every year with a budget vote and we must pass this budget, but this budget cannot be implemented properly? Otherwise, we're then wasting taxpayers' money and time on ourselves. Yes. Lastly, Chairperson, my concern today is on the issue that how did we implement when we say we want to roll out programs. I think last quarter we raised it that
we must have a proper survey. I don't know who's dealing with youth and vulnerable groups. When we come and share the cake equal. And when I'm saying this, I don't want to see and hear every time it's the same provinces on educational level and on the program level of everything is the same provinces. Even on festivals, on whatever, is the same provinces that are benefiting. Even on the issue of bursaries is the same. When will we share the cake equally? You have your Monday meetings where the other MECs of different provinces are attending it. Did they not present their business plans or their plans for the financial year so that we can really make sure that the cake is the sharing equal? Because the youth of South Africa is the youth of the whole South Africa. And all of us who are sitting here at MPs, we have our different constituencies where we're coming from. What are you saying to a person who's coming in with a matric certificate and saying, I applied for that and that? But then you can't help the person. You feel so useless as a public rep because it's always red tape and standing blocks. I want to visit it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. You know, you might have answered this question because, as you were looking at our questions, I was reading these documents I found here. So I might have missed your response to this question. You know, I asked a question about what are these trendsetters. I'm not sure whether you've answered that question because I'm concerned because for them, it's when they depend on the cooperation of provinces. And if they don't cover it, what happens? And then it's not a question, the second one, it's just a comment. You know, you will be seen as if we are complaining about biasness towards process. You know, if you look in this document, I found it here, it's like in just a school process. If you look in this at this document, let me take the first province. In the district, you can give it about 5,754 schools. And then you have installed 624 flags. Take Western Cape, it has got 1,143 schools, not even half of Western Cape. But you have installed 27 flags, more than Western Cape. Same applies to housing, and you take that to the Mpombo as well. Why is this bias? Thank you,
Honourable. I think as members also making follow-ups, I want to further comment, as I said, the minister, the issue of public works is an issue because as much as we are giving this response, it's been a response that we've been getting yearly and yearly and yearly. So it makes one now wonder what are we saying about our government if there are certain issues that we cannot solve, you know, at implementation level because at this point, I've made notes now, so I don't know. At this point, DJ, I think you have spent less than 25% of the budget, of the required minimum budget, because of lower than the 25% per quarter guideline. That's what the treasury regulations are saying, you know. And I think part of it is the public works that causes this picture or that we are getting right now. I think it's a very serious issue as well. And to further say that, now how will you ensure that it picks up in the second quarter? Because it comes, it continually comes, the same issue comes with public works, and it gives the impression that we are given, that is being given right now. I think someone asked the question also about who has been appointed to work on the Mandela statue. I think, I'm not sure that I didn't get the answer to what I was trying to note here. On the response about Nathi Madidi, I'm not sure whether I'm getting you or it's me maybe who doesn't understand the dynamics, because my question now would, have you tried to put these two organizations together? Because what I get, because the same question that you asked is the same question that we have asked, that, but it seems that you are at a certain level, but the other one will tell you, no, I am at developmental level. Nagma will tell you, we are at a developmental level, and the other one is at a, in athletes, I would say, it's at peak level, and the other one was development, young kids, and as they were saying, they were given broken pianos or old pianos by the department, something like that. So it's one of those issues. Maybe what I would recommend is to solve that issue right now, because this has been coming, and we as a portfolio committee have been accused as well of not responding to that issue or not. But you see, we are tired of going to an organization first before we come to the department, because some of the people, they take advantage of that when they say, no, I've spoken to the portfolio committee, and then nothing will be done. And I hope you are listening to me, DG, as on your iPad. Further, I want to come to this issue of job creation. It's fortunate it's on what you have said right now about short-term and long-term. I want to come to the issue of short-term. As we speak, I got a list, and maybe you don't know that I have that list of artists that will be performing in that on the 17th, that concert. When I looked at it, the complaint was that, you see, some of these people, that the same people that we are giving the short-term jobs of performing in this festival are the same people over again. You'll still get the Mafikizolo, you still get the, who are the ones that are still here? I saw the both Arkeli, you're still communicating with them. The same people over again. When are you going to get somebody from Limpopo or someone from the West, an unknown artist that is developed by the department? I have the list, it will take time to open it. And I was shocked that it's the same people over again. What is the department's role in developing other artists that are unknown? I think I will have an answer, I like them all. Not to tonight, I will open it. I'm not speaking something that I'll open my emails now. It came to me. Maybe I must not speak like the deputy minister. I'm opening it now so that people can see. I'll read them. The complaint came once again to ask the portfolio committee, say, deputy minister, the same people over and over again. If the person comes for 40,000, let's do the same known person on the band for 40,000. When will a young unknown artist perform? You know, where is the equity in this artist? What are we doing? We spoke about the development of artists, but we ourselves are not promoting it. I was saying that if they are, and also it was what Honorable Smith was raising. I know she did not say it bluntly as she was going to say it. The colored community is complaining to say that here in the Western Cape we have artists, but we've never been called. So where is the department identifying this talent? I want to raise this because it's here. Zayvula DM, Zayfunda, the listing other artists here, you know. Because at the end of the day, whatever that is happening administratively at the DM, it reflects at the political level as well, you know. And I thought I should raise this because it's something that we've been speaking about it. And I think on the indigenous games, I did not get an answer as well. But on 1034, as I was looking at the slide, program two, we have a challenge, and this is a challenge in this program two in terms of the key delivery milestones, you know, and what is the DG and DGG doing to ensure that these targets are met? Because I've been looking at program two, art and culture, it goes back to those artists, to all that we have raised. And I think it's one of the issue I would just further like to re-emphasize on this issue. Thank you. That is it. Now, Dominomita, the sale of your philosophy.
No, I don't think it's that. It was just a comment about the flag. That early this year, a flag has been hosted at Matter now is really saving. I just want the department to make sure that the money that they pay, whoever produces the flag, is the best quality. Because the government or department can pay a lot of money, but those who produce it can want to get more out of it. So that it doesn't fade after 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Let it be durable. Thank you.
I just want to add, I hope I didn't miss something, but I think what is very important, if we spend a lot of money, let's start with the infrastructure. We all know in looking after heritage or sculptures or whatever, it's very important to get the environment right, where you sort of store or exhibit that specific article. And I just want to find out, is there a specific drive from the department side to work together with the Department of Public Works to see that the basic foundation of this is correct? Air conditioning, no leaks in the walls. So we can gather a lot of things, but we leave it there for stof and roos. And the root on the vernietig. We must get the environment right. And then I just want to ask the department, where are we now? If we go to museums or whatever, are there money on infrastructure? Is it money good spent? Thank you.
On your mini-mac, I think Honorable Fanel most raised this question. I want to check, do provinces also, how do they relate with some of their structures? Deputy Minister, I'm asking this question because everyone will complain. They'll complain about the National Department while some of them are in certain provinces. You know, you'll find a structure in Ukuruleni coming to you and saying, a chairperson in the National Department doesn't want to give us money. And one of the questions that I would ask, have you started in your local municipality, because municipalities have got MMCs and units, have you gone to the department in Gauteng? I just want to check that, Deputy Minister, because it really becomes a problem, because every time you meet a person, you know the department, then I would ask which department, because you are in a certain, like this NASMA DJ. I've asked them, have you raised your issues with the provincial department? Because we so sometimes we tend to overlook the provincial department. I'm not sure whether is it the level of awareness or is it because they are not helped by those departments, you know. Because one of the issues, one would say, no, when so-and-so was the premier, this department used to help us. Now things have changed. Now we must go to national. And I think some of the provincial, it's just my thinking, I'll be correct it. They are the ones who say, you know, go to national because the province won't help you, you know. It's one of, I got it when a guy said to me, no, the department has offered to help me, and it's not helping. But when I followed up, I realized it's the provincial government of Gauteng. So I thought I should just ask you at that level, Deputy Minister, because you sit at that level, what do they go? Because I think all these questions that I ask, because when we met the portfolio committee, some of these chairs in provinces, it's one of the questions that I asked, say that, but you make your people aware before maybe you go to national, your provinces, the budgets and all that. I thought it's a question that I directly pose to you, Deputy Minister. Maybe do also ask us that, and also how to mend this relation. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for raising that, because I think together with our colleagues in the NCOP, we do need to maybe help the communities and the organizations and the public out there to campaign for more allocation of resources at provincial level, especially. The reality of the situation is that you add the sculpture departments in province,
very poorly resolved. So you would find that, when talking the other time with the film producers, and they were complaining, as an example, as you said, a number of provinces do have either film commission or some structure dealing with films. And we looked at Gauteng province, for instance, as a province which does have a structure. But when we then got the report, it became clear that, in fact, the budget allocation to that structure over the years has actually been going down. As the demand is increasing, the budget, I'm just giving that as a very specific example, where we actually went into it and found that over the years, the allocation has actually been reduced quite drastically. So overall, you would find that, I mean, that's why even when there are major activities in almost every province, they will come to the National Department for funding. Whether it's a major, carnival, here in the Western Cape, major activity, almost everywhere, you would find that the local authority and also the provincial government allocation would always be very minimal. I think at the provincial level, what also compounds the problem is that almost all of them are sports, arts, and culture. So within that limited allocation, somehow it looks like sports activities tend to benefit a lot more than your arts and culture. So essentially, the reality is that most of those provincial departments don't have the kind of resources to be able to assist their communities and organizations in those provinces. I just to comment, Chair, also on the matter which you raised, DG can still comment, but as far as I know, the issue of the indigenous games which you raised, I think it's a matter which we may need to discuss with the sport and recreation, because as far as I know, the recreation component of sports and recreation does do a promotion of indigenous games. One having played a role in that area as well. Sometimes the separation between what it's, for instance, the kind of indigenous, there are those indigenous games which do contribute in terms of physical activity, exercise, and there are those which also would not qualify under sports. So it's an area where I'm sure there could be collaboration. I'm not sure how far the indigenous games component of the recreational part of the national department and provincial sports and recreation departments have done. So it's a matter which I'm sure we can follow up with the department. Lastly, on the number of colleagues have raised the frustration on the question of the public works and our ability to fulfill our mandate in that regard, in terms of upkeep of buildings and so on. This is that from our side, as DG mentioned earlier on, we have looked at various ways to go around this problem, except in areas where, strictly speaking, you can't do without a public works in terms of acquiring premises and so on. But when it comes to the refurbishment and those kinds of activities, and sometimes even in terms of new projects, as we have reported previously, we try also to use other state agencies like your IDT. But essentially, we're looking at ways through which where the both financial provincial management and other, you know, legislation allows us to go out to use other agencies. We're trying to do that so that we can circumvent this. It is not a matter, a challenge which applies only to our department. At various fora where we participate in terms of intergovernmental and also within national government at cabinet level, the debate is always there. And some of the bigger departments with big infrastructure programs, such as your health with the clinics and hospitals, and construction and refurbishment, even the school building program. There's been a lot of debate where those departments are actually going the route of creating their own internal capacity to be able to, you know, initiate with the public works remaining to play an oversight or providing the guidelines, that's the route, and then so that the departments can actually have their own internal capacity to implement some of the projects. There is a lot of debate, obviously. I mean, it's not something which is very smooth, because the counter debate is that you can't have, you know, these are specialized, you know, expertise and skills required, and if then it becomes devolved to various departments, then at some level, you know, there's duplication and the government will end up spending more. But so there's that tension, obviously, I mean, where public works would not necessarily, you know, be pleased, and they would always say that they will improve. But, you know, it's something which is dynamic from our side as well. As I said, we try all that we can within the law to make sure that the things which we can be able to do outside public works, we should be able to do. Thanks,
DM. Okay. Before you start, thanks, DM, for that response. I hope you will think the way you are saying it, or sometimes the will. On the question that I spoke earlier on, I'm not sure whether I still can find it. This has been sent to us at the portfolio committee. A lot of people are not happy, even though that they're not happy, because I think when Lula Mara, I saw, maybe thought I'm lying, maybe I'm short, I thought I should read. On that day, because Arts and Culture is the one that conducted this artist, the program director is Paco Masani, Joanne Serrazo, Una, and singers. Your singers are David Jenkins, Mautela Queens, Umoja, Brina Sope, Black Coffee, Alessandro Lode, Italian DJ, Yvonne Chaka Chaka, Walter Kellerman, and then Naima McLean, DJ Sindo, First Project, Kev Darren, Toya Delance, Elvis Blue, Mafiki Zolo, Salif Keita, R. Kelly, Still Negotiate, and Joe Thomas. I mean, that is a list where these people are known over and over again, who've been performing over and over again. And how much are we going to pay R. Kelly for that concert? Who's already? Yes, I'm not saying we must not have international exposure, but these are the people that have been seen all over and over again. These are the world, where are developing artists? Who's having as in culture, by the way? Dr. Chogwen, where are the developing artists in South Africa and developing DJs? I mean, I was very sad. This has been given by somebody internally. Who's very bitter? Who's also an artist? Because it's given to us. That's why we're crazy, because we are here on this, because the young artists who are developing, I complain to say, these lists, I mean, who doesn't know this list? I mean, Umoja has done himself internationally. Now you're saying DJ, you are DG, now I'm saying DJ now. You are creating short-term jobs, but which job opportunities are you developing for the unknown artists? Because these ones are being developed day by day. I am not impressed for one. I'm not sure about the other members of the portfolio committee. Rivenike?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I'm not taking sides in that yes, one because yes. It's very, very, very difficult. You know, to put a list of entertainers together to act on a certain day, to pull a huge crowd to a certain venue, it's a very, very, very difficult case. But I think what is also important, you know, I don't think it's really just the Department of Arts and Culture inviting these artists. What normally happens, they go to certain venue developers or what do you call it, and all the artists have got managers, and the guys with the strongest input, they see to it that their artists are on the list, and the record company also play a huge role in this whole thing. So it's just not asking a couple of artists to perform. It's a very integrated. You need a plan. I agree with you. What should happen is all this younger, less experienced artists must be weaned in with the big artists. So the people want to know the Mafiki Zolos, and they want to see them on stage. If you bring 10 people that is nobody heard of, no one will pitch up. But the trick is to bring in the less experienced with the more experienced, and let them act together. And I think there must be a certain program from the department side. I think this is the whole issue. To not just to wait for the managers of artists to bring someone forward, but to be on the lookout. Maybe you can have some whatever program, but identify the artists and bring them in together with the big artists, and then you grow them and make them used to the big type of arenas and so on. Then they can grow into this whole thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Onamasana. But on that one, I agree, Nikki, but I'm saying, why can't you meet them? Why can't you? In the ANC, Dr. Jolan, we've done it. Some of them were women. The ANC just put them. I just have to say it. When we're doing our campaigns, they were very unknown artists. Then we listened because we're just enjoying. And then you found that that's where they came out. So I'm just trying to say that.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I want to speak for this so-called unknown artist. You see, in our villages, let's focus on... Okay, let's focus on villages for once. There are a lot of people there. I don't know if you know that. There are people who definitely would be drawn to an event, say in a village, in a rural area. There are artists who perform. They may not be known. We're not so known by whom, but they are known there. And these artists, if given a chance, can prosper. It's good to put them together like it's proposed by the former speakers. But I'm saying, if this country needs to grow, we need to concentrate on those who are disadvantaged. Remember, we sat here and speak of disadvantaged languages. We should be doing the same on these artists. They were disadvantaged. When they dance in their Shibelana, they don't need any greater artists to come and outlast them because they won't. So that one is wondering if we will be moving towards maybe taking these big events like Jeff, say to Mwanito, I'm just giving an example, or to a place called Minga. They were big Jeff. It doesn't belong to Western Cape alone. And we need to change it as art. I mean, we're sitting here in the Department of Arts and Culture and already think that there are more known artists to whom they are known according to certain individuals. The philosophy is we need to upbring everybody. We need to upgrade the rural areas. There is nothing naive about a jazz festival held in Guyana, for example. Thank you.
I think
last time when we talk about this festivals and stuff, we asked about the time frame on the issue of service providers and also how did they come on the end of the list on how they identify those people who will provide services to a particular event. I don't know if the department has changed the strategy and not when they know tomorrow will be off, on Friday will be National Women's Day, they're not going out the previous week to maybe as a calling the PFMA or whoever you can say all this legislation that you must do in line with the policies of the legislation of South Africa to advertise the previous week and saying we want this A, B, and C suppliers who can come up with maybe identify service providers or maybe to send their proposals or whatever. And I mean, this is why the same people are benefiting out of this event because of the time frame is too short. Now, if your time frame is short, you will look on the same people who are in your database who all the years benefit. Now, even though you have an event of every year, the department who are hosting those big events, what is standing in this document. I mean, you talk about 39 or whatever events. Now, if you know you will have that type of event every year, standing event, why can you not start in advance of your process so that other people can also benefiting out of this kind of event? I'm not talking only about artists now. I'm talking about also other service providers, because those people who might supply with maybe with equipment of with equipment for the event. And DG also, I think when that bill can be passed 1 year or 1 day, I think if you can understand what I mean those people, artists who are still poor because of those record companies who is manipulating the process. If you can remember what I'm referring to, I don't want to go into that detail. If we can pass that legislation and get that one in place, maybe it will also address the other issues so that we can make sure those upcoming artists will really be in power. But don't just say if we must wait for 1 day, we can just check which legislation can cover, I mean in the short term, can cover those shortcomings. But really, if I'm opening the Sunday newspaper chairperson, I see the department's emblem there, and then I see here's the event. The department, if the department's emblem is there, then they will proceed, they will give money most, or funding towards a particular event. Now, if you're giving or if you're pledging to a particular event where access was performed, you must make sure, according to your function and role as the Department of Government, on the policies that we set, we want to empower those who take the initiative to make something in their lives. I mean, it's where your department comes in because you provide some resources to that particular event. Now, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not appreciated. I'm just speaking now like here and there. I'm not appreciated about the doubt in September, whatever a project was in France. Where are those people staying? Those people started September come from South Africa.
why are the Diocese of Edinburgh Center of, yes, this is a fund, fine, but where does it come from? Is there a legacy in South Africa where our people can go to? Yeah, I know in South Africa, particularly in Bontheville, is a Dark September women's group who form their own organization because they want to keep the legacy of Dark September. I'm not raising these things out separately, generally. I mean, we can't build our legacy over the waters. We start first at your house here in South Africa before you go over the waters. I mean, Sasi Bachmann is from Africa, West Africa, and you birth in Eastern Cape and you bury Sasi Bachmann there. These kind of things. But we can't go take our resources, go to the other country and where our people are coming from and where the people with family are still maybe saying they can't even go to visit those things. Because France, those poor people don't have money to buy a ticket to go to work at their center. But everything on the others, I must say that it's really painful. I mean, sometimes we look into the faces. That is also the other barrier. If my face is popular, I will be always support because I come from a certain background and I come from a certain family. Then I will be supported. That is it. But this is the reality. The people who are popular will be always supported. And it's not fair. We must change around that type of attitude. If we not change that type of attitude, I don't know where we will go to. I'm telling you, I don't want to be popular because my surname is Moss. And then the other people have been elected. It is not fair, it's not right. And I don't think it's what we have, that constitution of South Africa and that flag that we all of us are talking about, who must just blow in the air. So say really, I must say that when you open the newspapers, you see the same people in the line. I know it is not our prerogative to choose. It's fine. But it's our role to play oversight as the members of parliament to make sure that justice will prevail and rotten equity and equality. Thank you very much.
Any other members?
Thank you. Maybe let me start with this thing of the artist lineup. The artist lineup for the Mandela Sports and Culture Day is not finalized. That is not the final lineup at all. In fact, we are meeting with the Department of Sports even this afternoon to work out on some of the things that are not, that are still not final. But let me also comment on a couple of things about that. The Nelson Mandela Sports and Culture Day is a special event. We're not doing it like we do most other events that we do. It's different because what we're trying to do is to merge sports, art, and culture from very different backgrounds together. For the first time in the history of this country, we're going to have a soccer game played together with the rugby game in one sports ground in one afternoon. Never been done before. Very diverse following. And therefore, the artist lineup that we're trying to get should actually match that. And that is what we're trying to do. Secondly, this is a fundraising initiative. Proceeds from the sports and arts from the day are going to be donated towards the children, the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. It's a paid event. In fact, it's quite an expensive ticket. So if you're going to attract people, you've got to provide, as the member for the bank was saying, mean, that is that people are willing to pay to see. It is unfortunate, but that's the way it is. However, I must also hasten to say that this is just one event on a number of events that we have. If you look at most of the events that we have, we will have one well-known artist. Most of the artists that we bring are artists which are unknown completely. That is why, in fact, even if you look at some of the pictures that we showed here, it's not artists that we know. It's local artists where we are. If you, on Friday, we'll be having Women's Day. We will have artists from Bushbuck Ridge who are going to be performing on Women's Day. And we are paying them, as we do national well-known artists. So, we do the things that we're talking about, of promoting unknown, young, upcoming artists. We do that quite a lot. But even on Mandela Day, a lot of the artists that are there, Koche, I don't know. Even I don't know First Nation. I don't know. I mean, I only know Tola Delazi because he won a summer. But these are the artists that are not known. These are artists that are getting known now, and we are bringing them up and supporting them through events like this. But that artist lineup is not finalized. There are changes that are taking place as we go along. Let me also respond, Chair, to this the issue that was raised about the flags. The price of the flags, the price of the flags that we pay, the flag itself, together with the pole, the rope, as well as installation. We average paying 1,800 per flag, pole, rope, and installation in the school. Installation, there are standards that through which it's got to be done. It's a hole, it's got to be cemented, and all sorts of things that goes through that. There are very stringent standards about the kind of flags that we provide, the material, the dyeing, and all of those things. It is quite, it is standardized. The way, I mean, I hear the issue, and we can look at the flag that is beginning to fade, and we should look into that. But the way the flag is managed is that it is hoisted in the morning, and we do provide this training to each school that we provide that. It's hoisted in the morning, it's got to be lowered at the end of the business day. When it's raining or when it's windy, the flag has got to be lowered. There is quite a big protocol around how the flag gets taken care of in order to ensure that it stays there for a very long time. But also there are very stringent standards about the flags that we use and the materials that they've got to be made up of. There were a couple of questions about...
There wasn't any question on libraries now. I think it was the first round, but there were questions around the National Museum policy, which Honorable Pascagwe wanted to know whether it could be made available. Yes, the draft policy is available. It can be made available to the members of the museum for the committee. And then, of course, there was an issue around education, around the flags, and I just wanted to respond to that by saying that the large part of education is actually done by education. I just want to indicate also that there is a publication that was done jointly between the Department of Arts and Culture and the Department of Education. The name of that publication is My Country, South Africa, Celebrating Our Heritage and National Symbols. It just talks about the whole range of national symbols, not just about the flag. And that is actually being done in the school by the Department of Education, because that publication with the Department of Education, part of the school curriculum. I just want to say that in as far as the department is concerned, the way it popularizes national symbols is through exhibitions and workshops, but it doesn't get to the realm of school or of education, because that's the process of the Department of Education. And I'm very happy that the Deputy Minister also spoke about Indigenous Games. appointment of the new council, that has been completed. Yes, it's closed, the nomination is closed in May, and then the appointment was made in July. So we are on time in terms of the appointment of the new council for the Iziko, Kitong, Sarah, and the Nelson Mandela Museum. All those have been appointed. And then there was also an issue around the bias, the kind of perceived bias or bias in favor of maybe urban problems like the Western case vis-a-vis the Eastern case. Honorable members and chairperson, I think one just tried to explain this previously, you know, the whole issue of why this process is so slow. One of the reasons was the whole issue of accessibility of some of the schools. I mean, if you are in the Western Cape areas, if you are in the Gauteng areas, going to different schools becomes much more easier, you know, because you have good accessible roads. But if you then take this and to the other provinces, which are slightly rural, then that's where you sort of meet some of those challenges. I'm not saying that that would be the final explanation, but I think that's part of the explanation that can be forwarded. And then there was also an issue around the money spent on museums, more particularly the new museums that are being established. I don't know whether Mr. Honorable Van der Berg was talking about, you know, the investment that we're making on infrastructure currently, which is more about the establishment of new museums, memorials and monuments. One can safely say that that money is well spent, more particularly because also the focus is on rural and peri-urban, and we establishing new museums in the areas that were never there before, more particularly pre-1994. So we're beginning to change the lives of those people in both peri-urban and rural areas. But of course, it comes with its own challenges because the dawn of a new democracy did not mean that the pre-1994 museums were, that the government was going to cease to support. Those museums are still being funded in terms of their operations, in terms of their maintenance. But of course, establishing new ones, what it means is that it's overstretching the very resources that we have. And of course, we do have challenges in terms of operating the new ones, hence our constant interaction with the Department of National Treasury to unlock some of the resources to ensure that those museums that have been established are being run properly and efficiently. I would like to start there on that agenda.
Thank you. Question about sharing the cake. Once again, and I'm using this just as an example, if you look at the grant that we're giving for libraries, most of the provinces that get the biggest chunk of the grant is a rural province. Most of the grant goes to the Northern Cape, followed by Mpumalanga, followed by the Eastern Cape. The only rural province that gets a small chunk of the grant is Limpopo. And the reason for that is a simple one. It's because Limpopo has failed to spend on the grant in the past few years. So, Chair, we are giving quite a lot of money, both for libraries as well as for other programs, towards the more rural province. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Thank you. We'll remain asking questions for a very long time as to when, because there is nothing wrong with what is being explained to us. We understand the differences, the disparities in these provinces, and we understand that it will take time to maybe put them at par. But we don't, my understanding is that there is no plan to improve those other provinces. The department cannot sit here and condemn and say that we cannot do this because this province has not been doing that. We are not interested in what they are doing. They are not able, we know that. But we are confident in the national department. What are you doing to make sure that things happen? There is no way you can be a head prefect and you say, I can't deal with that child, he's very noisy. We need to get another prefect there. Because my understanding is that yes, we understand that for you to move, the provinces must be able to use the funds allocated to them. But if they fail, what is it that you're doing? Very important issues like libraries, if one just want to put them in a nutshell, would be important to be taken to the most rural areas. And we cannot continue to sit here and say it cannot be done because the provinces are not able to do one, two, three. Who is overseeing the provinces, if I may ask you? Thank you.
Realizing that there's still further work
that we did not go ahead with the announcement of the artist. But as they've indicated, we are conscious of our responsibility to, on the one hand, make sure that we provide whenever we have this kind of big events that, as Honorable Vandenberg was indicating, we need that balance whereby, you know, because the public vote with their feet. If what you are providing for a major public event is not attractive, then they will vote with their feet. They won't come. But we need to balance. We're quite conscious of that. But we need to strike a balance so that, especially when we, you know, unlike the one on the 17th, where it's not actually a paying event, we are conscious of the fact that we have a responsibility also to provide a platform for the up-and-coming artists so that they also have an opportunity to showcase their talent. We will be much more vigilant in terms of making sure that that particular aspect of our mandate is not lost. And especially when we have an opportunity to have this event not only in Gauteng, or in the Western Cape, but in the, you know what, for the lack of better words, we call the outlying provinces, the more rural provinces, will be much more vigilant in terms of making sure that this opportunity exists, not only in terms of performance. I know the part of the complaint as well, a bit more difficult even providing the infrastructure and other business opportunities. An event also generates a lot of business opportunity in terms of putting up the infrastructure. Some of it we have to be also practical in the sense that some of the infrastructure is very specialized. Look at the stage and sound. If it's in the evening, the lighting and all those can be very specialized. But wherever we can, we would try by all means to make sure that even that doesn't go to the same service provider. Although some of the more expensive equipment, you do have a few providers throughout the country, and sometimes it's just impossible to run away from those who have established themselves. But we do our best to make sure that a wide range of our people benefit, both in terms of, you know, providing services and also in terms of actually to showcase.
Thanks. I don't know protocol usually says when the politician has spoken, then no one can speak, so I'm not sure whether there's anything that anyone wants to say. Did you can close it? Or is not listening to me speak for the thing of thank you members, and I think from the questions that were raised at this minute, I think you can see that members are really dissatisfied, as well as the expenditure patterns. I mean, if we have not even reached about 15% of the target expenditure, then it tells you something. I don't know, Deputy Minister, maybe I understand what you have raised with DG, but I think we are becoming a very elite country. Why we are still a developing country? We are comparing ourselves to the first world countries. I think that's all we are going at that level, forgetting that we are a really developing country. That's why we still fall under the third world. They will say that's what they would call us, really. I understand what you're saying, DJ. That means also the event cannot be attended by a normal person from Soweto who's unemployed. Only the elite will attend it. Because I know my family supports all the events, but this time they did not. So it must tell you that a person who's unemployed, who stays next to the station, cannot afford the ticket. That's what they're saying to us. So it's for second people. That's what they're saying to this committee as well. So it's an elite event. That's what I can say. But I'll leave it in that room. So that means that the unfortunate part, the same people who send these things are voters on the ground who say that this is a became an elite only for the elites when you perform. So the only time that Thandile Sundusa from Limpopo can perform is when there's a certain small event in that certain area. Beyond that, you cannot recognize me. You know, I've attended international events which are very popular, but when the MC announces, Deputy Minister will say, this is a new artist, I know he's among the biggest, just give the person an ear, whether you like, whether he performs one or two songs, at least to know that there's a certain person that is upcoming, you know. We never knew Zahara, she was from rural areas of the Eastern Cape, in a very rural area, but she was given that opportunity to sing one or two songs, and people liked it. You know, and so I'm trying to say that I am not going to agree what you have just given me, because at the end of the day, the same people who are saying, who are attracting, are the same people who say, but these people are performing over and over again. You know, it's so unfortunate because as I was sitting at some stage with these same recording labels on our final fan, they are the ones who are saying that, yes, if you are powerful, then you get. So if that means you're not from a known recording company, then there's nothing that can be done about you. And I believe the most popular artists that I've known in South Africa, starting from Poldo, they were just from rural areas, and nobody knew anything about them. But they proved themselves, like Brenda Fassi was from Yekwalanga, who just started singing in a nightclub. And anyway, he was feeling for somebody who was not there. That's how Brenda became identified. So I don't think we are very patriotic. I'm sorry, this is my we are not patriotic. These are the issues that I've raised as well. As I said, that you must watch your recording also. These are we are not patriotic as South Africans. I think we think more elite than being on the ground. But that is my own opinion. But I think we will release you. I think from what you have said, we are not happy with the finish of the department. And I think we'll end it there, and we'll kind of release it. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for making time to the council to come to the portfolio committee. Thank you. And so there's fresh tea and coffee, then you can just break for 10 minutes, members. Thank you.
Hey, what's your name? You took a minute, didn't you? Aba la kuta mugangeni wakangwe vata enda sikulu kumba vada kuya a Western Cape.
Thank you so much.
It's fine.
It's okay.
No.